Good morning, church. Good morning. Welcome online. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome to the 11 o'clock service. It's the only one you get all year. The next one's painful. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of short days. Any fans of that? Yeah, some of you? Okay. Yeah, I'm not a fan. Just not. I don't even know why we do it, but who cares? It's not part of our talk today, so we're just not even going to go there. But I do want to highlight Operation Christmas Child. I mean, it's something we've been committed to with that ministry for decades. Literally, they just do an amazing job of sharing the good news of Jesus with these kids, but also blessing them. You saw the video last week of testimonies, and I've had the privilege actually of meeting a few of those kids once they've been grown up. And I think it was a few years ago I met one, and it all started with that shoebox. So just encourage you, everybody do one. So if it's a couple at home, there's two right there. If you have a family of four, do four. And over the last few years, they've made even online way easier, so you don't have to put a lot of time and effort into it. You just click and go. So, and we're a receiving center here in Orange County, so we've been committed to them for a long time. So cool, super cool. Also want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. You are a generous church. Last 2 weeks ago, Pastor Dan was here talking about House to Home, and we kind of threw it out there that we'd like to sponsor six homes in making them beautiful and homes for people that are coming from recovery back into everyday life and blessing them with just a beautiful place. And not only did you sponsor six homes, you sponsored 10. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And also, thank you for your participation in Trunk or Treat. We threw that out there a couple weeks ago, and it was a big hit, 40-plus cars decorated, over 500 kids. It was a great outreach, a lot of candy everywhere, but the most important thing is we just wanted to be a light to our community and outreach, and so that worked. Biggest one yet, and that's because of you, so thank you, thank you. And this weekend, we have some special guests, missionaries from PCC, the Deckerts, they're right here. Good to see you guys, all the way from Florida. And so they used to be a big part of PCC back in the day, and since they're with Jesus Film, and so when Jesus Film relocated from San Clemente to Florida, so did they. And so anyway, but their ministry table's out on the patio. I encourage you to go out and talk to them, hear what they're doing, what the latest is, and maybe even pray with them. So thanks for being here, guys. Appreciate it. I think it's an understatement, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's kind of crazy out there on so many levels. I was thinking about it this week. It was like, wow, it's a crazy time. I mean, what's going on locally, around the world? I mean, I thought I grew up in a crazy time, the 60s, 70s, you know, when there was Vietnam and civil rights and, you know, it's crazy. But I think today is a whole nother level of crazy. What's going on in the Middle East? It's crazy. What's going on politically, economically, relationally, communally? I mean, everywhere you look, it's chaotic, and it can evoke feelings of concern, worry, anxiety, fear, helplessness, panic. If there's ever a time we're tempted to hit the panic button, it would probably be now, and let me just say, most people are. And that's adding to the chaos today. But what does that mean for us as believers wanting to follow Jesus? How are we to respond in times like this? What does God want us to do? Just hit the panic button and join the crowd? Or is there something more that can actually bring stability in instability, bring clarity where things aren't clear, and allow us to be in a place that doesn't just jump in with the crazy? I entitled this morning's message, Panic Button: How to Find Stability During Unstable Times. And I think you'd agree with me today is pretty unstable in terms of our culture and where we are today. We're looking at John chapter 14, verses 25 to 31, to finish out that chapter. But so the Last Supper, the final meal with Jesus is, you know, we've been covering and going through John, and it's been taking us about 3 months to get through this final meal. It wasn't that long, but we're probably going to wrap it up today in terms of the time. But it's a unique time in the ministry of Jesus with his disciples, because he's kind of laying it all out. He's telling them he's leaving them. That created fear. And of course, that created even responses. Peter responded in kind of this panic and angry way. Oh, I'm going with you. Well, you can't come. Oh, I'll go. It doesn't matter if I die. And Peter, that's great, but you'll deny me before the day's over. Instability. Somebody at this meal is going to betray me. What? Everybody at this meal has been with him for 3 years. What do you mean, betray? So that was instability. And this whole idea of being left alone and it's going to be, you know, it's going to get bad and all that. It's like, what do we do with it? If there was ever a time where the disciples would want to hit the panic button, it was at this meal. And yet we'll see how Jesus helped them through that, helped them see things, helped bring stability in their unstable world, and hopefully we'll get some things out of it for ourselves today. Verse 25, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you." In other words, I'm leaving. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So this is the second time Jesus has brought up the Holy Spirit during this time where they're eating. He brought it up in verse 16 too. He called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. He called the Holy Spirit a helper, which highlights this word. In some of your versions, it'll say counselor, which comes from the word paraclete, which is where we get our word like paramedic, coming alongside and helping medically. Paraclete is coming alongside and helping emotionally, spiritually. And so Jesus is given this promise that even though I am leaving, the Father is sending someone else who will fulfill this role of teaching you, but more importantly, reminding you of everything I've taught you. Now remember these disciples. They've been with Jesus for 3 years. They've learned a lot. So there's a lot to forget. What did you learn 3 years ago? What did you learn 2 years ago? What did you learn last week? They don't have a New Testament. They're not going to refer to chapter and verse. It's only based on their memory. Ah, but more than their memory now, Jesus isn't leaving them alone. He's giving them a paraclete. He's giving them a helper. He's giving them a counselor. He's giving them one that'll remind them of the things they've learned. Why? Because they need that reminding, because when things start getting out of control and when panic hits, that's usually the time we blank out. That's usually the time we forget and just react in the moment and don't pull back. Now, we don't have that problem because we don't have to remember. Number one, there's nothing for you to remember. You didn't walk with Jesus. But number two, now it's been written down. We have it in our hands. It's called a Bible. So the very words that the Holy Spirit would remind the disciples about to bring stability now are written in your Bible to bring stability for you and me. And this is a very important principle when we talk about how to bring stability during unstable times. Number one in your outline, hold on to the Word of God. Hold on to the Word of God. The disciples were given the Holy Spirit to teach and remind what? The Word of God, the words of Jesus, what they had known before. We live in a very, very noisy world. And as Christians, we have the opportunity to put on headphones called the Word of God. Those of you that ever go to a gym, you know everybody's got headphones in their ears, right? You walk up and they're like, huh? You know what? Right? They're in the gym with you, But they got a different thing going on because of those headphones. That's what that can be for us as believers. Because it's noisy out there. There's a lot of crazy music playing out there that can distract us. Jesus said this earlier to the disciples, something probably one of the things the Holy Spirit reminded him of. Listen to this. Matthew 7:24, Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came," in other words, panic, "and the winds blew and beat on that house." It's chaos, crazy, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Does these things that I've taught you to do. Psalm 119 puts it this way, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." This is the opportunity we have as Christians that the world doesn't have. And we do. Question is, do we use it? A couple weeks ago, Susan and I were walking down the boardwalk and said, "Hey, let's take a little longer walk," and cross the street and went up through the trails to the outlets. You know where that is on the other side. And so we're up there. "Hey, let's go into the Nike store. Let's look around. Okay, we better head back." And it was dark, getting dark. And we headed back through the trail. You ever been on that trail at night? There's no lights. There's no little light thing along the way. It's pitch black. You're like this. And you got like a mile of that. But what did I have? A phone. A phone. And so you click on that little flashlight, right? Trouble is, I only had 17% left battery. But still, it helped. And we didn't just walk, we kind of ran. But you see all these little, oh man, if I couldn't see, I would have tripped over that. If I couldn't see, that would have been a step I would have missed. That's how Scripture defines Scripture, that it lights our way. And if we don't have it and use it and embrace it and hold on to it, we're running out throughout the trails, tripping and falling, like the world is today. And so now, not only on a dark trail, you got a sprained ankle on a dark trail. Now, how do you get out of there? You know, and it just keeps going. So, what lights your way when instability hits? It's really the thing to question. Well, typical lights are flip on the news. That'll help. Oh, politicians. I'll let them light the way. That helps. My friends' opinions. You know, and when you think about all the things we try to do to kind of light our way, and how it really doesn't, and how much time we put into that, how much discussion is put into that, versus just embracing the Word of God. I love it. When you read Paul's letters to Timothy, here's a guy that's in prison. Here's a guy that can, when he was in Rome, and facing his death, could have panicked. He asked Timothy, "Bring my scrolls." Bring his Old Testament, basically. Because that's the light. Even though it's dark outside, that's the thing that prevents me from hitting the panic button and keeps me centered and brings stability. And this is the Apostle Paul. How much more do we need that? So what's your plan? We talked about this 2 weeks ago. Do you have a plan for the Word of God? And I suggested that it might be on the back of your worksheet called Daily Devotions. You all got a worksheet, don't you? You all got those daily devotions. Now think about it. If you did those daily, you'd be standing and holding on to the Word of God daily. Would that be a good thing for your stability? I think it would. You might be going, "Oh man, it's on a piece of paper. I forgot the paper at home." Do you realize we have daily devotions on our app? You don't believe me, do you? Let me show you. There's the PCC app. I took a picture of mine this morning. This is what comes up. You hit the app on your phone. By the way, you get it on Apple Store. It's free. Just download it. You click on that. Well, you can't really see it that clear on here, but there's three lines on the bottom. You click on that, and what you get is some choices. So you get media. You got the opportunity to give, or you got more. Click on media. And then look at, you can watch the most recent sermons, you can watch now, sermon archives, and look at the bottom there, daily devotions. Click on that. Okay, there they are, by the day. Hey, let's do November 1st. Okay, that's the week Amon was preaching from Exodus 20. There's the questions, the daily devotion questions. And, you know, and what do you think, and answering them. But if you click on that link at the bottom, you're going to get a live version of that. You can actually click on Exodus 20. It'll give you the scripture. You can answer those questions. You can put them in comments down below so you keep a record of them. You can share them with other people, all within your hand, helping you stand on the Word of God. Come on, let's do this. You see what I'm saying? I mean, spoon feed, man. Just a suggestion. If you got a better approach, go for it, but just go for it. Or don't start complaining about the world's falling apart and I'm panicking and this is all gonna fall. Well, Okay. Look at what he says in the next verse, 27. Peace I leave with you. Shalom would be the Jewish term. Shalom I leave with you. That literally means security, completeness, health, prosperity. It doesn't just mean a calm heart. It means a complete world. So, shalom I leave with you. My peace I give to you, Jesus said. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So it's not going to be the same as the world. Everybody's talking about peace in the Middle East. This is different. This is supernatural stuff. But look at what's attached. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Implication, you can let them be troubled and you can let them be afraid, i.e., you and I have a decision over whether we let this or not. So there's this promise of peace, but then there's also this accountability or responsibility associated with this peace. And the more we let our hearts be troubled, and the more we let them be afraid, the more unstable we'll be. The more we don't let them be troubled, and so there's this decision that we make on what we expose our hearts to. Number two on your outline, how to find stability during unstable times. Avoid things that trigger you. Avoid things that trigger you. Avoid things, people, situations that are going to trigger you into more fear, more worry, more anxiety, more panic, more instability. Now, the implication here is that you know what that is for you, that you know your triggers. Because if you don't know your triggers, then it's haphazard. And if it's haphazard, you're going to be thrown into the chaos, hitting panic buttons. But if you know where you're triggered, in other words, you know where to not let your heart go, then you're going to find that stable place. Versus reading God's word, holding on God's word, and then you just let it go be triggered. So do you know that for yourself? Because that's the key. See, for me, off topic, but it's a trigger, I get freaked out about heights. I don't like heights. It's weird because I'm tall. Maybe because I'm already higher than everybody else, and so then it's the next level. But when I see a picture like this, I go, I would never do that. And that triggers me, makes me afraid. But they're sleeping. How do you do that? How do you just rest? But they do, which implies what? It's not a trigger for them. See, we're all different. I will never do that, ever. I will never let my heart do that. So what is that? So this isn't about what's wrong or right triggers. This isn't about you're weird or you're over. No, this is just about knowing yourself. And we all have them, by the way. But do you know you have them? And are you protecting yourself against those? My wife's super great at this. And I've been forced into it recently even. So back in the day, I used to watch the news a lot. And not just one channel, by the way. I would watch the news that on both sides of the aisle. My wife would walk in the room and goes, I can't even watch that. I got to walk out. Or can we change the channel? Now, I could sit there and go, what? Be educated. Make it a sociology experiment. Look at that. Look at what they're saying, and look at what they're saying, and look at the marketing side. Nope, not for me. I can't watch that. Okay, fair enough. Because it'll make me angry. It'll make me anxious. It'll give me, And it's so weird, because recently, with what's going on around the world, she's been watching stuff. And now I'm getting triggered. I like get up in the morning, I got a cup of coffee, and she's got that stuff on. I'm off to this and that. It's like, can you turn that off? I don't need that right now. It just puts me in a weird spot. I gotta wait till noon till I get to that weird spot. It's just too early right now. But do you know what that is for you? Because this is the key. Panic in, panic out. Fear in, fear out. Now, this isn't about avoidance. This isn't about living under a rock. This isn't about living off the grid, not aware of what's going on in the real world. This is just about balance. Monitoring. Is what you're watching on TV good for you? Does it trigger you to these places of instability? Is what you're engaged in on social media good for you, or does it trigger you to these places of instability? Is this person you hang out with or engage with good for you, or does it lead you to other places of instability? Only you can answer those questions for you. But it was an admonition from Jesus to the disciples, indirectly to me and you, on how to deal with their panic. You can experience the peace of God, but if you let your heart be troubled and let it be exposed to fear, the peace will leave. So this is active, this is moving target, this isn't one and done, and this is really about learning who you are and what your triggers may be. All right, here we go, verse 28. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. So he's doing a little corrective here, like, hey guys, how many times have I talked about the Father? How many times have I talked me and the Father are one? How many times have I said I'm here to do the Father's will? And now when I'm leaving and going to the Father, you're not going, hey, that's great, you're going to the Father. You're going, what about me? So it was a little bit of an adjustment. And he says, now I have told you before it takes place so that when it does, you may believe. So in other words, I'm going. I'm telling you in advance, so now you won't doubt, you won't second guess, or you won't panic. Okay? Look at verse 30. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, who is the enemy, Satan, but he has no claim on me. In other words, a garden's coming, he didn't say it specifically, and I'm going to be arrested, and I'm going to be tried, and you're going to think that I'm out of control and I'm losing to this enemy out there that we're fighting, but it's not true. He has no claim on me. But I do, why? Verse 31, as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. I'm doing this to fulfill God's redemptive plan, going all the way back to when I said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. So ultimately, Merry Christmas, Happy Easter, the redemptive plan of God to save the sins of the world. People can have hope in the forgiveness of God. That's why I've come. That's why I'm telling you this. So rise and let us go from here. So as Jesus wraps it up, he effectively clarifies some things. It's going to get bad before it gets better, but that doesn't mean I'm losing. So don't be surprised. Don't misread the situation. It's all part of the plan. And this is the important overall truth when you and I feel like hitting that panic button. Number three on your outline, how to find stability during unstable times. Remember, God is still in charge. People may be out of control, countries may be out of control, the world may feel out of control, but God isn't. Things may not add up, things may not make sense. That doesn't mean God isn't still in charge. Now, this is easy to say, but do we really believe it? Paul encouraged the Roman church with this perspective when he said this, Romans 11, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond reaching, tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" In reality, it's an application of point one. Stand on the word of God. Well, one thing on the word of God is God's in charge. And it doesn't matter how it looks, how it feels, it doesn't mean he's not in charge. It just means it looks and feels like he isn't. Which means what? We don't understand the whole thing. This is what Jesus was telling the disciples. It's going to get bad. I mean, not bad, terrible. It's one thing to be bad and arrested and taken away. It's another thing to see your friend and savior and your rabbi for 3 years hanging and dying between two thieves. Panic, 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 panic. We lost everything. It's all a farce. It's all falling apart. This is never going to work. Forget it. I'm out of here, right? So he's telling them in advance, no. It's all part of the plan. As much as it doesn't look like it. Now, this isn't to glaze over stuff today. It goes, must be God's plan. Must be great. Oh, that tragedy? Well, praise the Lord. No. It's a sobering, humbly thing that we won't know. We won't know. And this is, I think, where we struggle. Because there have been many terrible points in our history, not even as a country, but even globally. Go back to Nero. How terrible was that? Burning Christians alive on a cross. This is it. It's over. Doesn't get any worse than this. Then you got the Crusades. Well, that was great. In the name of Jesus, everybody's butchering everybody and the Ottoman empires, and they're battling. This is it. Doesn't get any worse. Talking to somebody the other day, can you imagine a civil war that we had in our country where literally you're shooting your neighbor? And people are going, yeah, I kind of could today. People were shooting each other. You go, this is it. And then you got the Rwanda genocide, then you got the Holocaust, and then you got the Middle East. And it seems like every step of the way, oh, this is it. Yet it isn't. God's still in charge. Now, here's the deal. Do you understand it all? No. And this is where we can finally go from stability to instability. And it's just, so three weeks ago, had one of our missionaries here on the stage from the Middle East. Do you remember that? Yeah. I'm not going to say his name publicly just because I don't want it out on the internet and depending if he's in an arm's way. But he's from the Middle East. And he was going home 2 days later, and I wrote to him on WhatsApp, and I said, hey, how's it going? This is just when it was really blowing up in the very beginning. And he goes, check it out. And he just turned his camera around out his front door, and thousands of people were protesting with the Palestinian flags and cheering and chanting. I said, are you safe? He said, yeah. He goes, but pray for us. And here's what his perspective was. I've found that during times like this, more people come to saving faith in Jesus. Wow. He didn't just go, bam. He pulled back and said, okay, God's still in charge. Some way God's going to work. I don't know how, but I've seen him do it in the past. It's crazy. So I know for me, to keep God in charge, and I'll just share a couple of these tips, and maybe they apply. They're not in the scripture. It's extra credit. You know, it's not the Gospel of Mark. It's different. Sorry. So what prevents me from keeping God in charge, I'll say this, is avoid the analytical trap. We like to figure stuff out. And if we can't figure things out, then in some way, shape, or form, it ain't real, it ain't happening. We can't imagine anything beyond our analytical, strategic, self-reliance perspective. And then we stay in that place of instability. It kind of looks like this. I don't understand. Why don't they just da-da-da-da-da? Why don't they just da-da-da-da-da-da-da? And then you start getting keyed up. Versus saying, I don't know why they don't do that, but God does. In other words, I don't need to know everything. I don't need to be able to figure anything out. In fact, I won't be able to, because by definition, I'm the creation. He's the creator, like he said in Romans. Who's known the mind of God? Who's going to be his counselor? So this idea that you're going to have it figured out, and if you can't, you're going to live in this place of instability, and the only way you'll find stability is when you figure it out, good luck. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to last. In fact, my rule of thumb is this. If I can't figure it out, I probably don't have all the information, but God does. So one thing is watch out for your analytical trap, because that'll throw you back into instability. Second thing is practice self-talk. This is something we see happen in the life of David throughout the book of Psalms. He's always talking to himself. Talking himself off a building kind of thing. Oh, my heart, oh, Lord, help my heart, you know, search me, my heart, you know, all this kind of stuff. And the self-talk is this. You don't know what's going on, but God does. I don't have all the information. I don't know how the Middle East is going to resolve, but God does. I don't know what it's going to be like for the next presidential election, but God does. I don't know it, and this isn't just a global thing. We could get real personal here with our relationship struggles and instabilities, our financial instabilities, our physical instabilities, all the things that you and I face. We won't know it all, but God does. And then the final thing is not only self-talk, but talk to God. Bring God your instabilities. Bring God your worry. Bring God your panic. Bring God your fear, the things that are troubling you. Ask God to give you revelation on where to let your heart be focused or not. So when we avoid the analytical trap, and then we start to reflect on self and then bring God into the situation, I trust and know that this is going to be, will be significantly different than the world today, because they don't have that. Everything we just said, they don't have. All they got is the latest newscast. All they got is what people are telling them. There's no Holy Spirit going on. There's no truth going on. Triggers everywhere, panic buttons everywhere, and it's chaos. But we have these guidelines coming from Jesus to a group of guys who are ready to panic and freak out. I was on a plane yesterday, and right next to me was a husband and wife with their 8-month-old. Super cute kid, until he wasn't. And I felt bad, you know, because, you know, that whole parental try to fly with your kid, you're just that balancing tightrope thing. And he was good. I mean, we were goo-gooing, he was laughing, you know, until he wasn't. And, you know, we took off. And I just saw the parents. I mean, they were such good parents. Like, I was like, wow. Look at that dude. I mean, he's not just going, here, take the kid, you know. He's like, holding and talking and loving and binking, and the wife's there and they're doing their thing. But he still went, yeah, right? Backbowed, and they're just holding him, and he's like, oh, you know. But then, you know, 10 minutes later, sound asleep. Sound asleep. Slept almost the whole time. And I'm like, that's us. The parents didn't change. Who changed? The kid. The perspective. The idea. The awareness. He went from backbowing to sleeping because he had loving parents there. They hadn't changed anything. But he had to go through his panic button. And this is God. God loves us. God died for you. God went to the wall for you for now and through eternity. You can't get any deeper, more profound. It's even unimaginable. So what are we doing? Why are we backbowing? Because of our perspectives, our understandings that are triggering and causing instability. We could be sleeping and experiencing the shalom of God. It's the promise to the disciples. It's the promise to me and you. And Lord, we thank you for that promise. Thank you for just this glimpse, really, into your final time with the disciples. What a special time that must have been. 3 years wrapping up, but also a profoundly troubling time. No one wants to say goodbye. But yet to see the counsel you give them. Lord, may we take that counsel into our lives today, this week, this month, this year, with all the instability going on today, all the wondering and guessing what's going to happen, and oh knows, panic buttons being hit everywhere. Lord, help us to find a different place of stability because we're your kids. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. We thank you for the promise of shalom, peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week.